Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Ayin. We are starting today on the Mishnah on the top of the Amud on Ayin Amud Aleph. Continuation of the first Mishnah of Sanhedrin, where we discussed really only one aspect regarding the Ben Sora Moreh. Let's just take one step even further backwards. We are in the eighth parak of Sanhedrin, and we're discussing the topic of Ben Sora Moreh. The reason why this comes up in the eighth parak of Sanhedrin is because it's one of the Chayv Iskila. As Rashi points out, the first Rashi on the parak, we are continuing now in Chayv Iskila, and the Ben Sora Moreh is the next topic of discussion. It's one of the most interesting halachas in the Torah, where a person is going to be killed not on a current action, but based on projected actions. The Torah says that, the Torah just simply says that he's put to death, but the Gemara points out, and the Mishnah is going to tell us this. We haven't seen the Mishnah inside yet. That Mishnah is coming up in just a day from now. But the Mishnah tells us that it's Al Shem Sofa, that the reason why we're killing Ben Sora Moreh is not because of current action, because of future actions. In other words, his behavior currently is predictive of a course that he's going to take that is not going to be good. He's going to end up stealing and robbing and killing people in order to feed his addiction. So the Torah says better that he be put to death now. There are a number of details and nuances regarding the Ben Sora Moreh. The application of the Ben Sora Moreh is going to be, if not impossible, close to it to actually execute. I mean that both literally and figuratively. The Ben Sora Moreh is going to require a lot of circumstances in order to get to that point in time. And the Gemara is going to tell us, not today's daf, tomorrow's daf, that some are of the opinion that this actually never occurred. Joshua Kaposchar, there are a lot of lessons to be learned from Ben Sora Moreh, even though there was no actual application of this principle. Okay, so that's all in general terms, the idea of the Ben Sora Moreh. Specifically what we learned yesterday, yesterday's daf is really easy to summarize in just a sentence, maybe two sentences, and that is the time frame of Ben Sora Moreh. When does the child actually become eligible to become a Ben Sora Moreh? So basically, to put it succinctly, from 13 years to 13 years and 3 months. Okay, I oversimplified, but that's fine. For the purposes of review, that would be just fine. In terms of who's eligible for the Ben Sora Moreh, a son, not a daughter. Okay, that's basically what we learned yesterday. I understand yesterday's daf got a little more detailed than that, but that's basically what we saw yesterday. And also, a big part of yesterday's daf was whether or not a child can actually be molded. There's seemingly a discussion and a debate in the Gemara about Mitzias, about whether or not a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah, certainly we know that a Bias Bentisha is considered a Bia. The only discussion of the Gemara, debate in the Gemara, is whether or not a child like that can actually be molded, and seemingly a Machlokus in the Gemara, Machlokus Amorai. Okay, with all that stated, now we continue. We're on the Mishnah on Ayin Amud Aleph, and today's daf is dedicated to wine. I'll give you a great mnemonic just to help you remember today's daf forever, meaning how do I know that daf Ayin is a reference to wine? So you know the gematria. I made this up, by the way, but it's not like I'm not going to take a lot of credit. It's not like this is not brilliant. But the gematria of Yayin is 70, and today's daf is daf Ayin. Okay, that's it. That's it. For the rest of your life, you're going to remember that daf Ayin is the daf dedicated to wine. And okay, that's your memory aid for today. A couple of them came up in Sanhedrin. We had for the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, so that's daf Nun Ches. Although to be fair, it started on daf Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, and Nun Ches. Okay, but anyway, that's your mnemonic for today. We start with the Mishnah. Me'emasai chayef. So at what point in time is going to be chayef? In other words, he has to do something in order to be a Ben Sora Moreh. Yes, we're projecting future behavior, but there has to be some current behavior that he's doing right now in order for him to become a Ben Sora Moreh. So what is that current behavior that he must exhibit? So me'emasai chayef v'sheyachal tatim arbas v'ishtechazi log yayin ha'italki. So according to the Tanakhama, it must be that he eats a certain amount of meat and he drinks a certain amount of wine. So the tartimar basar, so that's a terminology that we're not used to. We don't hear it that often throughout Chas. I don't know if I could think of another area in Chas where we use the words tartimar. Okay, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means that off the top of my head, I don't remember. Log is a volume that we use all the time. We usually talk in terms of a revisa log, a quarter of a log. A quarter of a log is the amount necessary to be, whenever we have a mitzvah to drink wine, Dalakosos, Kiddush Shabbos. So we have to drink a quarter of a log. This is two times that amount. The chatzi log, obviously, is two times that of a quarter of a log. So this is how much you must eat in terms of meat and drink in terms of wine. The Mishnah over here says Yaina Italki. I know. So Yaina Italki usually is a reference to Italian wine. If you take a look at the second Rashi in the Mishnah, yet Rashi writes Yaina Italki, Tov Umeulehu Umamshich Basrei. So it's very good. It's quality wine, and he's going to be drawn after it. So basically, this is one of the themes of today, and that is we're looking for addictive behavior. In other words, we're looking for the kind of behavior where you see that we could just generally set the pattern of he's going to be wanting to do this again and again and again. So if he's drinking cheap wine, so that's not addictive behavior. Although I know you can make the argument that, you know, if he's really actually, if he's going to even be drinking cheap wine, so he's really addicted. I know you could say that, but anyway, the Mishnah's point, and we're going to see this theme again and again and again, a total theme alert for today, and that is that we're looking for things that are addictive in nature. So, it's...
Yeah. He was a French one.
Yeah.
Right. Italian,
well, the Mishnah is. That's not him.
No.
Mishnah came before he did. Okay, so... I hear you. So, Basav Yishtei Chatzi Log Yain Etaki. Rav Yossi Omer, Mana Basav Log Yain. So, Rav Yossi says that it's a Mana of Basar and a Log Yain. So now, clearly, what Rav Yossi is doing is just arguing with the quantity. Now, we know regarding the wine, so he's looking for two times more than that of the Tanakama. So presumably, and the Gemara is going to make this point, this is not my point, presumably also when it comes to the meat, so also his shear for meat is going to be two times more. So that terminology that was used by the Tanakama of Tartimar, presumably is half of a mana. Okay. Anyway. And we'll skip the parentheses for now. So basically, here's what the Mishnah says. Context is really important. Really important. Meaning, it's not just that he's eating meat or he's drinking wine out of any context. There has to be a certain context that's imbued to the whole scenario so that he is a Bentzor or Mora. And here, context is important in one of two different directions. One is that, let's say, he is drinking wine, but he is eating meat, but in the context of a mitzvah, right? I know I read a lot with, and I didn't translate a lot, but you'll see. I'll go backwards in just a moment. Achol davar shehu mitzvah. So if he's involved in the Seudas mitzvah, and even though within the Seudas mitzvah, he drank the shear of wine. So nevertheless, because the context is that of a Seudas mitzvah, so he's not a Bentzor Mora. And interestingly, it also goes in the other direction as well. In other words, if it's an Avera, so that's also not within the context of becoming a Bentzor Mora. And so if he's eating it, which is treif, so that also is not towards the context of Bentzor Mora. And therefore, he's not going to become a Bentzor Mora. I know that's really interesting. Let's go back to the. Let's go back to all the cases in the Mishnah now. So, Acha b'chabura mitzvah. If he ate with a group of a mitzvah, the Gemara is going to be a little bit clearer in terms of what exactly that means. It's some sort of seudas mitzvah. Okay. Acha b'ibra chodesh. The Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on this on the Amud Beis. And that is, well, I'll describe it in more detail later this morning. But basically, when the Chachamim determined which day of is Rosh Chodesh, so they made a certain seuda, and he participated in such a seuda. Meister sheni in Yerushalayim. It's a mitzvah to eat meister sheni in Yerushalayim. So that also constitutes a mitzvah. And achol nevelos treifish katzim v'ramasim. And here we're going in the other direction, meaning he ate meat that's not kosher. Nevela didn't receive a proper shechita. Treifa, one of its inner organs was punctured, severed, etc., etc. Shkatzim v'ramasim, those are bugs that are not kosher. So in both directions, both whether it's towards the direction of a mitzvah or whether it's the direction of an avera, he's not going to become a Bentzor Mora. Achal komaychal, continuing now in the Mishnah. Achal komaychal velo achal basar, shasa komashka velo shasa yain. Let's say he was a glutton, but it wasn't meat. Let's say he drank a lot, but it wasn't wine. Ein onasa Bentzor Mora achi achal basar v'yishte yain. Again, very specific behavior that's required in order for him to become a Bentzor Mora. Specifically, he must be eating meat and drinking wine. Shene'emar zolel v'sovei. Because the Torah says the word zolel v'sovei in describing the Bentzor Mora. Afa b'shen ray l'davar zech l'davar. Now, even though we don't have an absolute definition in the Torah for what those words mean, Nevertheless, if we compare it to other psukim that we know from, so we'll see that the Zola Vasove is a reference to meat and wine. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. It's from the 23rd perek of Mishlei. Al tehi b'sove yayin b'zole basar lama. Don't be from those people who are sove yayin. So you see the word sove in reference to wine, and you see the word zolel in reference to meat. So the pasuk of Mishlei gives us a very good indication that these terms are in reference specifically to meat and wine. Okay, so on one hand, it's like a balancing act. On one hand, we are looking for addictive behavior. On the other hand, also, in order to become technically a ben sar mori, he must comply with those items mentioned in the Torah, and they have to be specifically meat and wine. So, Amar Rebbe Zera, Tarti Marze in Yodea Mahu. So Rebbe Zera makes the observation, which is, I don't know what this Tarti Mar is that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning, it's clearly an amount, I just don't know what it is. But he says, but look, deductively, we could figure it out. And I already made this point back in the Mishnah, but again, I only made it because I knew the Gemara upcoming. And that is that if you look at the wine, so clearly, a chatzi log is double that of a revius log. So if you go back now, if you go backwards and you do the same deduction vis-a-vis the meat, so if the wine is doubled, so that means the meat is doubled as well. So Rabbi Yossi says, how much meat must be consumed a mana? So when the Tanakhama says a tartimor, it's a chatzi mana. Okay, so it's deductive reasoning. Am Rav Chanan bar mulda, am Rav Huna inuchayv achikach bas bezol v'yochel yayin bezol v'yishta. In order for this to be considered addictive behavior, it must be that the meat which was consumed was cheap, and the wine that was consumed is cheap. Now again, you could have made an argument the other direction, but we're looking for addictive behavior, and Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi in Sain Yain Bezal, Aval Biyokr Vlo Shchicha Le Maos Lignov Kulehai Vlo Mamshech. If we're talking about expensive wine, he just simply won't have the means to feed the habit. Meaning that we're looking for a something which is both addictive and available. And so if it's expensive, so it's just simply not going to be within his means, and so therefore this is not going to be a habit-forming behavior. Dechsiv zolel visove. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's encrypted in the Psukim as well, meaning when the Torah describes the meat and wine, it uses the word zolel, zolel from the word zol, which means cheap. Now, in addition to that, he also describes that the meat has to be raw and the wine has to be raw. Okay, raw meat and raw wine. Raw meat, we certainly know what that means. What does that mean, raw wine? So presumably raw wine means that it's fresh. So the Rashi writes Yain Chai, Mamshich Mimnesha Meshubachu. Now in terms of its dilution, the Gemara in just a moment is going to give us what it's diluted. But Chai over here generally means, I say raw, I mean undiluted. So, basar chai v'yishta yayin chai. Ini, the Gemara says, now, these statements of Rav Huna, the Gemara says, is it really supportable? V'ha Rav of Rav Yosef dami tavayu. So the Gemara quotes both in the name of Rabba and Rav Yosef, that acha basar chai v'shasa yayin chai in anase ben sora mora, that just the opposite. If what the ben sora mora is doing is eating raw meat and undiluted wine, he's not going to become a ben sora mora. So I'm Ravina. So Ravina says, balance, the balanced position, which is yayin chai, mazik v'lo mazik, basar chai, basha v'lo basha. So when we say that the bensora mara is going to be eligible to become a bensora mara, so the wine in question over here is something which is partially diluted, and the meat over here is partially cooked. So what does that mean? Partially diluted, partially cooked. So, I'm going back to Rashi. Am Ravina Yain Chai. Rashi writes, the Kamar Ravuna Mazik Vala Mazik La Afuke Echad Anasam Bo Maim Harbei. Va'afa Pishiro B'nei Adam Shosin Kach. Meaning, if it's overly diluted, so that's not something which is habit-forming. So, in other words, it has to be something which is partially diluted, but not overly diluted. Also, regarding the meat, it's Bashu Vala Bashu, it's cooked, but not fully cooked. The Gemara here gives an example. Kibasar kiva de achle ganbe. Basar kiva that's eaten by the ganavim. How we would describe it, like basically rare, like rare meat. In other words, cooked to a certain degree, but not fully cooked. In halacha, we know that by Shabbos, there's a threshold in terms of what is considered cooked meat when it comes to Shabbos. So we know that the status for cooked meat on Shabbos is Michael ben Drusai. So Rashi over there points out in the Gemara on Shabbos that Michael ben Drusai is a reference to meat that was cooked so that people who are eating on the run, and it happens to be, it's a funny halacha, where the halacha is gauged by what do the robbers eat. So they, you know, the thieves, so their lifestyle, their occupation demands that they always eat on the run. Okay, not a preferred occupation, not one which the Gemara endorses, but in other words, always eating on the run. And so for some reason, this Ben Drusai, so he gets fame and infamy for being the kind of guy that eats on the run, and therefore that qualifies in terms of cooking regarding the Hilchos Shabbos. So over here it's similar, although nobody necessarily is called out, but basically when the Ben Sora or more is eating the meat in a partially cooked state, so again, it's the same idea. In other words, if it's raw, so that's not the kind of eating that's going to be addictive forming. And if it's fully cooked, so obviously he's taking the time to fully cook it, so again, that doesn't speak to an addictive behavior. So, right, that's why, again, there's always this balance where it's cooked but not fully cooked, which again shows that he has a certain amount of impatience and this could be addictive forming behavior. Rabba v'Rav Yosef Dami Tavai Alcha Basam Aleich V'Shasi Yai Miguso Einas Ben Sora Mor. Another statement made in the name of Rabba and Rav Yosef is that if what the young man was eating was salted meat, if what the man was drinking was wine but straight out of the vat, so it is not a Ben Sora or Mara. These are not the kinds of meat and wine that are addictive forming. Tanan Hasam, the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah in Tanis. Mishnah we're familiar with. It's appropriate that we're reading the Mishnah on a fast day. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochel adam she'etav shilin. So on Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat two cooked foods. We're talking about the Suda Mafsekis, the meal right before the fast actually begins. So a person is not allowed to eat two cooked foods. V'lo yochel basa v'lo yishte yayin. And the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Now we Ashkenazim have a minhag that already 9 days prior to Tisha B'Av, we're not drinking wine and eating meat. Aliba de Gemara, Aliba de Hilchasa, according to the strict letter of the law, the only time that you have to stop from drinking wine and meat is only on Erev Tisha B'Av and specifically for the Suda Mafsekis. Okay. Not for now. When we get to Tanis, when we get back to Tanis, we'll discuss that in more detail. Vitana, and on this Mishnah, we learned a Braisa, Ava Ochelhu Basimalich Veshosiyai Migito. What you're allowed to do for the Suda Mafsekis is you're allowed to eat inferior quality meat. Meat which was salted, which means salted means that it was already shechted some time ago. Remember, back in the good old days, there was no refrigeration. How was meat preserved? Salting. So in other words, this meat is from some time ago. And yayin migito means that it was not fully fermented. And again, so the quality of this meat and this wine are perfectly inferior, actually in two different directions. The meat because it's too old, and the wine because it's too fresh. But anyway, basa maliach ad kama, and now, so we know that on Erev Tisha B'Av we have an allowance that we're allowed to eat. Again, this is not aliba de minog nowadays, this is aliba de hilchos of the Gemara. So for the Suda Mafsekis, you can eat inferior wine. Sorry. You can eat inferior meat, and you can drink inferior wine. And there in the Gemara Tanis, the Gemara gives a very specific definition of what that means. So ad kama Rabbi Chinna Bakana calls manchu kishlamim. So as long as it is shlamim meat, now we know when it comes to shlamim meat that it's eaten for 2 days, meaning the day that it's shechted that night and the day later and the next day. So for shlamim you have a 2 day window of eating it. So in other words, for day one and day two post shkita, that's considered fresh and that's considered good. However, day three and onward, or I should say rather the night after day two, so already it's no longer considered fresh. So when we're talking about salted meat that's inferior, it means basically day three. And yayin migito ad kama kol zman shehu toses. And as far as wine, which is too fresh and not fully fermented, so you see toses. Toses, it means that you see the fermentation actually happening in front of you. V'atanya yayin toses ein bo mishum gilui. And another halacha, which is that wine while fermenting, you don't have to worry about it being uncovered. Back in those days, they had a significant concern that any liquid that was uncovered, wine, water, so snakes are going to go in and snakes are going to drink from it. But during fermentation, though, there is no concern that the snakes are going to be drinking from it. Even the snakes are not excited about wine during fermentation. V'kamatisisa, so, and how long is this fermentation process? Shloshi yamim. So it's for 3 days. In other words, for the first 3 days of fermentation, so fermentation is actually happening, and therefore it's not quality. The snakes are not drinking from it. You're not worried about gilui. You're allowed to drink an Erev Tisha B'Av. It just simply does not have the designation of wine. With all that stated, so what do we have? A clear definition Erev Tisha B'Av regarding what is considered inferior meat and what is considered inferior wine. And now hachamai. And now basically, can we take all those halachas that we learned in Erev Tisha B'Av and now can we bring them over to the Ben Sora Mora? Basically, the Gemara is asking, are we working with the same threshold regarding what is considered quality meat and quality wine by the Ben Sora Mora as we are in the halachas on Erev Tisha B'Av? So, So maybe over there, the threshold is based on the following. When it comes to Erev Tisha B'Av, so what are we looking to avoid? We're looking to avoid simcha. Simcha comes about through eating a good piece of meat and drinking good wine. So as long as the meat is not good, so therefore it doesn't produce the simcha, and it's not a contradiction to Tisha B'Av. So over there, maybe the threshold is based on simcha. But over here, we're talking about the Ben Sora Mora, and over here, we're not looking to see what gives him joy, but rather what is addictive forming. So maybe over here, therefore, the threshold is going to be a different threshold. And so maybe over here, as long as it's not addictive forming meat and addictive forming wine, so then maybe that would not qualify as meat and wine. That would make him a Ben Sora Mora. And the Gemara therefore suggests that maybe as it relates to wine, so maybe 40 days, meaning maybe within the first 40 days, it's not addictive forming, and so therefore he's not going to be a Ben Sora Mora until it's 40 days old. Okay.
Would there be the same kula for a Kohen going to do the Avodah?
Could be. I could guess, but I don't know. Okay. With all that stated, now we're halfway through Ayin Amud Aleph, so we are basically now have set forth the halacha that in order for Ben Sora Mora to become such, so he's got to drink a certain amount of wine, he's got to eat a certain amount of meat. Machlokus in the Mishnah, how much wine, how much meat. Discussion amongst the Amorayim, quality of wine, quality of meat. Can we apply the same halachas that we know in Erev Tisha B'Av to that of Ben Sora Mora? The Gemara is not necessarily. Over there, it's a function of simcha. Over here, it's a function of habit-forming behavior, hamshacha. To that which now the Gemara is going to launch into a pretty long, it's not going to take up the whole daf, but pretty long tirade about the ills of drinking wine. So I told you, the way to remember today's daf is that the word yayin is 70 in gematria, and today's daf is ayin. Works out perfectly. Am Rabbi Chanan lo nivra yayin ba'olam ela nachem avein lo shalom schar l'rishayim. Why was wine created in this world is to provide comfort for the avel. So, I know it's almost like stereotypical, but the Gemara says it. In other words, that when you're an avel and you're trying to drown your sorrows, so wine is the perfect way to drown the sorrows. The Gemara in Moed Katan describes how it used to be the minhag, where they would drink a considerable amount of wine at the Sudas Avra when they came home from the funeral, and they... we think of it as like an Irish funeral, not to stereotype, but I just did. So the Gemara in Moed Katan says that used to be the minhag. In fact, the Gemara in Moed Katan says that the minhag went slightly awry because they drank too much. But okay, but anyway, the Gemara over here says that one of the functions of wine is that it provides nechama for the aval, and also l'shalem schar l'rishayim, and also it gives the reward for the rishayim. Whatever schar mitzvah they do get, meaning the rishayim, so they don't have much schar mitzvah to do, but basically their enjoyment of the drinking of the wine, that is the schar that they're going to be receiving, all of it in this world, and nothing for Olam Haba. Shinama tu. Oh, we'll get to that. The Gemara is going to quote. Okay, anything having to do with wine is in today's daf.
Okay.
Today's daf is the wine daf. So the Shenamar Tanu Shechala Ovid V'yan Lamari Nefesh, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, and it's pretty clear from the pasuk that that's the idea. The idea is that it's for Mari Nefesh, those who are bitter who have a bitter soul, meaning an Avel, and for those who are Ovid, those who are going to lose. That's the Rishayim that we just made reference to. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mai Dichsiv Al Tereyan Ki Sadam. Don't look at wine when it's red. So what it does with the Rishayim is that it makes their faces red in this world, but white in the world to come. Again, similar to the idea that we just expressed, is that all the reward is going to be coming in this world with the enjoyment of the wine, so that they have nothing left for the Olam Haba. Rava Amar Alte Rayan Ki Yesadam Alte Rayan She Achriso Dam. Rava gives a different shot in the pasuk, and that is that the what's going to end up happening is by drinking wine, so blood is going to come as a result of that. Rashi says, we're talking about the Ben Sora Mora, meaning that, like we've been describing for the last couple of days of the daf, when a person starts getting this addictive behavior of having to drink wine and more wine and more wine, so he's going to want to feed his habit, and by doing so, he's going to have to steal, and in doing so, he's going to have to kill somebody. Rav Kahana Ramiksiv. Now, Rav Kahana notes that there's a stira in the Pesukim. Now, it's not really a stira in the Pesukim, but the pronunciation of the words can come in one of two ways. Tirosh v'karinan, tirosh. In other words, the pronunciation, the correct pronunciation of the word is tirosh. But meanwhile, it's written without the vav, which means it could be read tirash. Zachanas erosh, lo zachanas erosh. So basically, wine is not bad in of itself. It's not an inherent bad, but basically, it's how you use it. If you use it appropriately, you will become rosh, you will become a head. If you will use it inappropriately, you will become rosh, you will become poor. The Gemara also, similar idea. Rav Ramiksiv Yismach v'karinan Yismach. Now again, the pronunciation is Yisamach with a sin, but also from the it could be pronounced as a shin. Not that we do, but it's a viable way to pronounce the word. Zacha misamcho, lo zacha mishamemo. And again, wine used appropriately provides simcha. Wine used inappropriately creates destruction. Rava makes a comment. We saw this comment to Rava a couple times throughout Shas. But again, it comes up on the Sanhedrin Ayin Gemara. So that is that he says that both wine and fragrances has made me a smart individual. Meaning that I used wine appropriately, and the appropriate usage of wine gave me the clarity of thought and the clarity of mind so that I was able to become a Talmid Chacham. Amar Rav Amram Bereid Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Chanina Maidichziv Lemi Oy Lemi Avu Lemi Midanim Lemi Siach Lemi Pitzayim Chinam Lemi Chachlio Seinayim. So who gets all these bad maladies that's described over here? Wounds and bloodstained eyes. L'ma'achrim al hayayim l'bayim lachkor mismach. Mimsach. So basically, anyone who is dependent on wine. So someone who has an addiction to wine is going to be suffering from all these maladies. Ki as Rav Dimi Amar Amri b'ma'arava haikram on the darish le'mirish l'sefa midrash u'misefa l'resha midrash. This pasuk that we just quoted. The Lemi Oy, again, another pasuk of Mishlei, right? A lot of Mishlei. Today you understand Mishlei is basically good sound advice. And when it comes to wine, so that's what we need. We need so good sound advice. So the way the Gemara says it is that you could darshan the pasuk from the beginning to the end, and you could darshan from the end to the beginning. What does that mean? You take a look at Rashi. Rashi. Two Rashis, Midrash, Nidrash Mashmusa Yaf Vachikam, Lemi Kol Eila. In other words, one way to read the pasuk is forward, meaning who's suffering all this? The way I just read it. So Lama Akrim Alayam Labaim Lachkor Mimsach Shechokin Lehechan Ayayin Atova Musmach Bebisamim Kama Mechaseyena. Basically, the person who's looking for wine, fragranced wine, so he's going to be suffering from all these maladies. We could also go the other direction. Next Rashi. Somebody who is got a lot of woes, meaning like a mourner, and also a rasha as well. Those are people who should be drinking wine, meaning that the for certain people, wine's appropriate. Okay, again, you shouldn't be some of those people to begin with. But if you are those certain, if you are certain people, so then wine would be appropriate to you. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're about 2/3 of the way down. Darash, about 3/4, I'd say. Darash Uber Galila. So we have a number of strange names in today's daf as well. The earlier also we had a molder. Okay, uncommon name. So Darash Uber Galila Yud Gimel Vavim Nemru B'Yayin. So if you look in the parsha of Noach, parsha of Noach is where you find really the ills of wine. That's right immediately after they left the Teva. Noach planted a vineyard, made wine, drank it, got drunk. Okay, so you look at the Pesukim over there and you count the Vavs, and you're going to count 13 Vavs in that Parsha. And the Gemara just runs through the Pesukim. Vayichal Noach isha adama v'yitakarim v'yesh minayam v'yishakir v'yitkal b'tocha olo v'yarcham avikanan eser v'asavi v'yigel l'shnei achav b'chutz v'yikach sham v'yishem v'yafes esa simla v'yasimo al shechem shneihem v'yachu acharonis v'yichasu eser v'asavim ufineim v'chule v'yikach noach miyeno v'yada esa shirasa lo b'noach katan etc. 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 So I assume everyone here knows the basic outline of the story. So Noah gets drunk. He gets naked. Two of his sons go in. Two of his sons see it. They cover him up and they take him out. Okay. The Gemara's point right now is that if you count up all the Vavs in the parsha, you're going to count 13 Vavs altogether. How to get to the count of 13? See Rashi, see Tosfos for a proper counting to get to the number 13. Anyway, the pasuk says Vayedes Asher Asala Beno Katan. Now he knows what was done by his youngest son. So the youngest son over here is a reference to Cham, and he knows what was done to him. The pasuk itself does not tell us what was done to what Cham did to his father. Rav Ushmul, Chanamar Sarsov, Chanamar Riv'o. So it was heinous. It was just a question of what was the heinous act that the father did, that the son did to his father. So one pshat the Gemara says is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that he was Masaris, his father. He castrated his father. Another one is Rav'o. He sodomized his father. Samandamar Sarsov, Mitoch Shekul Kolabirivi, Kolabirivi. And the Gemara says, well, the way that we can actually deduce from the pasuk that it was a castration is because it's as follows. So we know that when Noach ends up cursing Cham, he curses not just Cham, but specifically one of Cham's sons. Specifically which one? The fourth son of Cham. So now the deduction goes like this. If Noach is cursing the fourth son of Cham, it must be that Cham prevented Noach from having a fourth son. Meaning, of course, we know that Noach had three sons. After leaving the Teva, Noach actually wanted a fourth son and was prepared to have a fourth son. Cham didn't want that to happen because less for him. In other words, instead of a three-way split, it would now turn into a four-way split of, or however many more sons that Noach was prepared to have. And so that's why Cham castrated Noach. Noach, understanding this, so he cursed specifically the fourth son of Cham. So that's the deduction. Uman damer rivo gamar vayar vayar k'siv hach vayar acham avi kenana serv asaviv k'siv hasam vayar oso Shechem ben Chamor. The Gzer Sheva that speaks to the idea that Shechem abducted Dina and violated Dina, so that vayar could also be understood over here as a similar idea that Cham sodomized his father. Bishlam l'man damer sarso mishum hachi kila b'rivi. So the Gemara says, as we already explained, it makes sense that that if we go with the pshat of misaris of castration, because then you understand why specifically, as we already explained, why Cham cursed the fourth son of, sorry, why Noah cursed the fourth son of Cham, specifically Canaan. Elaman damer rivo maishna rivi, so nalte behedja. So the Gemara says, now, if we're talking about sodomai, so then why specifically did Noah curse the fourth son of Cham? In other words, just curse him directly. So the Gemara says, "Hava ha, 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 ha. So the Gemara says that even if you go with the pshat that he sodomized his father, he did both actually. He sodomized and he castrated his father, and that's why, even according to both opinions, the father specifically cursed the fourth son of Cham. The 13 Vavs? 13, it's a fair question. The Vav, Rashi says, is like a Lashon Havai, like woe. Right? The Gemara in the beginning of Megillah says that whenever you see the Vav at the beginning of one of the Svarim, so Vayhi, right? When you see the word Vayhi, it's basically like woe. Right? It's like we almost like in English when we say the word woe. The number 13, so, I don't know. The elsewhere the Gemara says it's a Gemara Nadarim. Elsewhere the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Milah is so significant you find it 13 times in Parshas Lech Lecha. So 13 is somehow specific to the significance of a certain mitzvah. Over here, I guess it's the opposite. Okay, but again, that doesn't. It's not, you know, it's just scratching the surface. Okay. Okay, the Gemara goes back to the pasuk of Noach, and he plants a vineyard. Amr chista, Amr of ukva, Amr la, Amr mar ukva, Amr Rabbi Zakai, Amr leKadosh Baruch Hu Noach. Shem says to Noach, Noach lo haya lecha lomaim me'adam rishon. In other words, Noach, you should have learned your lesson. Meaning, you are repeating the mistake of Adam. Shlo garm lo ela yayin. What caused Adam to sin? So that was wine. Now, what does that mean, what caused Adam to sin? Wine. It wasn't wine, it was the Eitz Hadas. Answer, they're one in the same. Kemanda Amar Oso Ilan She, Achol Mimenu Adam Arishon, Gefen Haya. What was the Eitz Hadas? The Torah never tells us. The Torah never tells us what fruit it actually was. Common misconception is an apple. It's one of the funniest misconceptions that we have out there. Like, how did the Eitz Hadas become the apple? It's like, it's an oddity. We don't have any such Masorah that was an apple tree. I don't know. George, well, the Gemara here is going to cite three opinions. Elsewhere, the Gemara goes over other opinions as well. Apple's like the furthest thing from what it actually is. It's one of those big misconceptions. So anyway, so Kamand Amar Oso Ilan Shachem Mimeno Adam Rishon Gefen Haya. So the Gemara points out that if you go with the position that what the Eitz Hadas was actually Gefen, so then you understand that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Musa that he gave to Noach. You, Noach, repeated the mistake of Adam. Adam ate from the Gefen, and that was the Chet HaRishon, and now you're repeating that same error. The Tanya, the Gemara, says that this is actually subject to Machlokes Tanaim. What was the Eitz Hadas? Rabbi Meir Omer Oso Ilan Shachal Adam Rishon Mimenu Gefen Haya. So one opinion, that specifically of Rav Meir, is that it was actually great. Ayin Amud Beis, top of the Amud. Shein lecha davar shemevi yalala la'adam ela yayin. What brings more bad and more calamity to humanity? Or maybe Adam over here means specifically Adam Rishon, but ela yayin. In other words, we know wine by its very nature can be very destructive. So if I'm now wondering what was the destructive fruit that Adam HaRishon ate from, so it was wine. That's Shitas Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Amar Chita Haya. So Rav Yehuda says that it's actually a wheat, a kernel of wheat. So it's funny. We think of it as a tree, which is fair because Torah describes it as an eighth, but according to Rav Yehuda, a stalk, not a tree. But anyway, Rav Yehuda Amar Chita Haya, Shein Atinok Yodea Likro Abba V'ima Ad Shiitam Tam Degan. Because you will find the correlation where, when does a child start gaining some sort of understanding, some sort of cognitive development? That is only when he starts eating, specifically that of grain. So when he's starting to eat, that's also when he starts talking and having some basic rudimentary understanding. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Te'ena, and by the way, the point was obvious. I just want to make sure I articulate it. And that's why it's called the Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas means that it's the kind of food where you start to see some understanding. And then finally, the third opinion over here, at least mentioned in today's daf, Reb Nechemiah Omer Te'ena, Haya Shebedavar Shekukulabo Niskanu, Shenemar Veitpru Alei Te'ena. Okay, and the third opinion of this price says that it was a fig. We know that when they came to the realization, Adam and Chava, that they were naked. So the fig leaves were used in order to create some sort of way of covering them. So l'chora, says the Gemara, that the object which was the kilkel was the object which ends up becoming the tikkun. Okay, so that's the third opinion, that's figs. And yet, Ben, I do have also some sort of recollection, at least from the Midrashim, it could be other Gemaras as well, that there are other fruits that are candidates for what the Eitz HaDaas could have been. But three opinions in today's daf. Okay. Back to Mishlei. Okay, we quoted a lot of Mishlei today. So we're back to Mishlei. Well, this is now the 31st perek of Mishlei. And the pasuk reads, I'm just reading the pasuk first and then we'll go back to the Gemara. Divrei Lemuel Melech Melech Masa Asher Yisratu Imo. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes the whole pasuk. I didn't do anything special. Okay, good. So, now this pasuk really difficult to both read and understand. What is it talking about? Am Rav Yochanan Mishamar Bishamar Bayochanan Melamed Shekafaso Imo LaAmud. So first of all, it's Mishlei, so meaning that the subject of this pasuk is Shlomo HaMelech. It's a strange way to describe him. In other words, we know him by the name Shlomo. We also know him by the name Yedidiah. So rare is it that we know him from the word Lemuel. Rashi over here writes, Lemuel Melech. So Shlomo HaMelech Lemuel. So Rashi identifies that Lemuel is Shlomo. Masa v'chach masol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Lemuel, Shechina Hu. Kamo Yedai Samti Lemi, I'm sorry, Lemo Fi. So the word Lemuel is a reference to the Shechina. And that Shlomo HaMelech had a keen understanding of the Shechina, and therefore he's a reference to Lemuel. The Gemara now darshans this pasuk in the following sense. What Shlomo HaMelech's mother did is tied Shlomo up to an amud, to a pole, and basically gave his son significant musar, the amr lo. And now, again, we're going back to the pasukim in Mishlei, and we're going to be darshaning. Same basic idea. This is the beginning of the 31st perek of Mishlei. Mabari, Mabar Bitni, Mabar Nidrai. And the Gemara now goes and explains every phrase that Shlomo's mother, Batsheva, says to her son, and basically giving his son Musar. Mabari, Ako Yodim Shavicha Yere Shamayim Hava. Akshav Yamru, Ima Garmo Lo. Basically, you're right, this happens in families, never in mine. Never. But basically, in other words, when the kid goes bad, so each spouse now blames the other spouse. In other words, that's from your side of the family. That's from your side of the family. So Batsheva says to her son, you know, everyone knows that David was a tzaddik. And so now you going astray, so what are people going to say? People are going to say, oh, he gets that from the mother. Okay, so that's number one. Umar bar bitni call anashim shall base avich kevin shemis abro shuv ein roos panei amelech. And next phrase in the pasuk, the Gemara goes on to explain that generally speaking, after David Amelch impregnated one of his wives, so that's it. In other words, so she finished her pregnancy, but not to see the king again. I, on the other hand, Batsheva says, v'ani dachakti v'nechnasi k'dei she'eli ben mizuraz umaluban. On the other hand, I went in and I was with your father even after I was pregnant with you. Rashi notes over here, as the Gemara, and this is the Gemara Nida, that the relations between a husband and wife is beneficial for the child even after conception, meaning during pregnancy, so it's good for the child. In fact, Rashi points out over here, Shosha Chadash Ma'achronim, Tashmish Yafel Avlad, Shemitoch Kach Yatsa Avlad, Melubanu Mizurah. Specifically, during the third trimester, Rashi says that Tashmish between husband and wife is very advantageous for the child. And again, this is basically what Batsheva is saying to her son, I did that for you. Okay, maybe too much information, but okay, again, the basic idea is that she's giving her son rebuke. Umar bar nidrai kol nashim shabesavich ayunodros yeheli ben hagon lamachos. Every one of David's wives was hoping that their son would become the next king. Vani nadarti v'amarti yeheli ben zarizim umala batar v'agon lanevias. Me, all I wanted was a Ben Torah. That's all I wanted. I didn't want my son to become the king. I wanted my son to become a Ben Torah, maybe a Navi, but I didn't want to be a king. Al lamalachim lamoel. And now again, continuing the psukim. This is now the fourth pasuk of the 31st parak of Mishlei. Al lamalachim shasi yain. Al lamalachim amru lo. Malacha itza malachim shashosi yain mishachim v'omrim lamalanu el. You know what the other kings do? So they drink wine, and then in their intoxicated state, they deny God. Ularo's name Ishechar, Mishakor Raze Olam Gluyim Lo, Yishtayin. And somebody who knows all the secrets of Akash Baruch Hu, meaning you Shlomo HaMelech, you knowing all the secrets of Akash Baruch Hu, you shouldn't be drinking wine, Vishtakir, and get drunk. So basically now we can understand what was Shlomo doing? Simply he was just drinking too much. And so the Gemara understands that the 31st parak of Mishlei was basically encrypted all the mussar that Batsheva gave his son over the fact that he was drinking too much wine. Igadami, the Gemara has a slightly different version of this last point. Mishakol Rosnei Olam, Bashkim Lepischo, Yishte Yain. A similar idea, but the word Rosnei over here meaning that leaders of the world are coming to you for advice and you're drinking wine, Pasnish. It's just not, it's not appropriate for you. I'm sorry, Yishte Yain, Vishtakir. Okay, and Shlomo took the musar and he accepted all the points that his mother made to him. The Gemara goes on to explain, I am worse than that man, Noach. Meaning, you're right, I was worse than Noach. Dichsiv, vayichal Noach ish ha'adama, v'lo binas Adam li ze Adam rishon. And also, I didn't take lessons from Adam. Meaning, again, going back to the idea that Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was a grape, which was wine. So, in other words, I didn't learn Musa from Noach. I didn't learn Musa from Adam. He says to his mother, "Mom, you're right." Okay, it's a mother's dream. Son finally admitting, "Mom, you're right." Okay, Achav b'chaburis mitzvah. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Okay, the context of him drinking, where he's drinking the wine and where he's eating the meat, is very important. The Mishnah taught us that if he's doing so in the context of a mitzvah, that is not the kind of eating and drinking that's going to be leading to the addictive lifestyle, the addictive behavior, which is going to take him down the dark path. So, Amar Rabbi Abahu Eino Chayv Ad Sheyochel B'Chabur Shekul Sirikin. So the Gemara quotes a statement by Rabbi Abahu, and that is that he's only going to become a Ben Sar Morah if he's eating with a bunch of worthless people. Right, sarik from the term used to describe a tree that is not producing fruit. Right, so over here when we're describing in terms of people, they are worthless people. They're people who are just useless. Now, v'hanantanan, the Gemara says, now wait one second. That doesn't really go well with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says al chabur's mitzvah eino nasa ben tzara mara. So if he ate with a chabur's mitzvah, so time of the mitzvah, halav mitzvah afagav dalav kula srikin. So the Gemara says, now, presumably, if it's not a mitzvah, so even if not everyone is useless, he's going to be a Ben Sar Mara. The Gemara says, HaKamashman, Dafagav, Dekula Srikan, Kevin de Mitzvah, Ka'asik, La Mimshech. So the Gemara says, actually, you need both. Meaning, in order for him to become a Ben Sar Mara, he must be eating meat and drinking wine in a non-mitzvah, totally useless group of people. But if you have one of those things change, so then he's not a Ben Sar Mara. So that means that, I know it sounds funny, but if let's say the assembly of people over here were totally a bunch of lowlifes, just like useless people, but it was in the context of a mitzvah. Okay, so God forbid, this never should happen, but let's say you had a Shalom Zachar, and the crowd is just a terrible crowd. Okay, but in other words, but the assembly is a mitzvah? Okay, so you're not going to be a Ben Sar Mara. By the way, mind you, what I'm not saying is that it's good. I'm just simply saying that you're not going to, that doesn't qualify as a Ben Sar Mara. Okay, it's not the most positive statement that one can make. And conversely, if it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, but some of the people there are good people. And so that also does not qualify him as a Ben Sar Mara. So in order to become a Ben Sar Mara, the assembly of people has to be just a bunch of lowlifes and not in the context of a mitzvah. Aval be'ibra chodesh. Okay. Let's do ibra chodesh and we'll stop after that. L'mem debasav yain maskev. Now, for ibra chodesh, so they would bring up wine and meat. Because one of the examples that the Mishnah gave us in that it's a mitzvah context and he won't become a Ben Sar Mara is when they went up to the attic for Ibra Chodesh. First of all, what are they doing over here? What is going on? So take a look at Rashi over here. I'm reading the Rashi inside of Albi Ibra Chodesh. So Rashi over here describes where they would get together, 10 or more people, and they would go up to the attic. Rashi's very clear. Rashi's opinion here is very clear. We are not talking about the portion where they would be investigating the matter. Should we add another day to the month or not? The issue over here is simply for publicizing that today is Rosh Chodesh. Now, they would only go up on the night of the extended month. Meaning, if a month is extended, so that means that the previous month was not 29 days, but rather 30 days. If the previous month is 30 days, so now we already know that the month has been extended. If we're talking about the sanctification of the month, so then you only need 3, you don't need 10. Over here, Rashi is very clear that this is all for piercing. This is all for publicizing and letting the people know that this month is not a short month. It's quote unquote a pregnant month. Again, your two options are it's either going to be 29 or 30 days. Rosh Chodesh is either going to be on day 30 or on day 31. So Rashi is very clear that this is all for the purposes of piercing. For the purposes of piercing, now we go back to the Gemara. So if the Bensara Mora, or I should say the candidate of Bensara Mora, is going up with this group of people, this is considered a Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore he's not a Bensara Mora. The only problem that the Gemara is grappling with now is, what food did they bring up for the special piercing party? So, Ein Olim La, Ela, Pasdagan, V'kitnis Bavad. So it sounds very clear from a Brisa that the only thing that they would bring up was just simply bread and other grains or legumes. So the Gemara says, well, that's exactly the point. Meaning that they bring up bread. And he comes up with them and he's like, oh, guys, I got a great idea. Let me enhance this party. Right. Right. Yeah, in other words, guys, you don't understand how to make a party. So let's make an enhancement. So he brings wine and he brings meat. So again, it's clear that he's got a problem. But again, since it's in the context of the mitzvah, so he's not going to be deemed a ben Soramora. Tanu Rabbanan Olam b'Ibra Chodesh Pachus Me'asar B'nei Adam. So just as long as we're here now, the Gemara is going to be giving a little more description in terms of what this looked like. So it was no less than 10 people. Vein Olam La'ala Papas Dagan V'kitnis. Bread and legumes are brought up there. Vein Olam La'ala La'or Iburo. And you go up on the night of the 31st day, which ends up becoming Rosh Chodesh. Vein Olam La B'yom Ela B'layla. You don't go up during the day, but rather the night. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we learned in another braisa just the opposite, day not night. So they would go up in the early morning. Basically, they would go up in the morning, and they would come down in the really early portion of the morning. So and basically to create a tumult, and so that people will hear. And again, the whole idea, at least the way Rashi presents it, is that this was piercing. This was just a way of publicizing that the previous month was an Ibur. It was a pregnant month, and so therefore Rosh Chodesh should be celebrated on the 31st day, not the 30th day. Right.
There was no need to publicize it.
You could argue either way, but okay. But Rashi is very clear that this was for publicizing the Ibra month. Okay, well, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Maestro Sheni. So again, just a quick recap. We talked today specifically about what the Ben Sora Mora has to eat. Meat and wine, quantity, quality was our big discussions for today. All the statements Mamri Chazal regarding wine, Noach, Adam, Arishon, all came up in today's daf. And we finally finished off with, if the Ben Sora Mora is drinking the wine, but in the context of a mitzvah, so then that's not a Ben Sora Mora. And one of the examples that we gave was the Pearson party that was made for the Ibra Chodesh, and that's where we ended today.